The Gross Profit Podcast is your one-stop shop on the path to profitability. Each week, we share authentic advice on the positive, practical steps you can take to make the company you love more profitable. If you're looking for a positive plan to help you avoid common spending mistakes, control costs, and increase your profits, then this is the place for you.
I'm Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined by James Kennedy and Garrett Carraher. In this episode of the Gross Profit Podcast, James and Garrett discuss five types of budgets you can use to take control of your company's finances. Most successful managers know that you can't make fiscally sound decisions without checking the numbers. In an effort to help managers make wise decisions, companies put a budget in place and check it against the numbers. If you have the numbers in the budget, you might be tempted to think that you have all the information you need. What many people fail to understand is that there are different ways of finding and tracking the numbers in your company. Therefore, there are also different types of budgets at your disposal, which will help you accomplish different objectives based on how you use them. Adopting a dynamic outlook towards your budgets will give you a more accurate view of the numbers and a more versatile approach to your decisions. On today's episode, we'll share five types of budgets and explain how you can use each of them to understand what's happening in your company. These include the static budget. Also known as the top-down budget, this is a quick budget that allows you to set goals across your company. Next, we'll discuss the zero-based budget. This one is also known as the bottom-up budget, and it gives you a clearer picture of where money is going in your company. Then we'll go over the rolling budget, which helps you set goals on a more timely basis. After that, we'll talk about the incremental budget. That's a goal-setting budget, which helps you clearly define the targets you want your company to hit. And finally, we'll talk about the flex budget, which allows the sales team to define growth based on what they are observing. We'll also share some advice on how you can use multiple budgets at once to create a well-rounded financial strategy. If you're looking for more tools to help you understand your numbers, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's our conversation with James and Garrett.
Hello, and welcome back to the Gross Profit Podcast. It's James Kennedy here, CEO at procurementexpress.com, where we help hundreds of companies safely spend billions of dollars each year. And I am, again, joined by the secret CFO, Garrett Carraher. Garrett, how are you this morning?
Great, James. All good on my side. And looking forward to a really good podcast today on budgeting. So exciting. I know people mightn't think that, but it really is the way to control your business. What kind of experience have you had on budgeting, James?
Well, I'm glad you're well, but I am not well. I am so annoyed. Last month, I thought it was going to be a great month. Everyone was humming. Sales team were bringing in the sales. Everything is looking good. Then at the end of the month, I get my accounts in, which is about, we get our accounts in about the 10th of each month, which is pretty good. But what do you know? We made a big loss. I wasn't expecting it. It just came out of nowhere. And I was livid. I hate it when that happens. So I asked the accountant, well, why do we make a loss? And I said, well, you spent the money. And I said, I know, but why didn't you tell us earlier we were losing money? And I said, well, that's not my job. You should have a budget. So here we are talking about budgeting as a way of avoiding nasty surprises and keeping a better, tighter rein on spend. So why would you use budgets? Because I've heard this before, talk about using budgets, but I've never really felt the pain of having a bad month like that and then realizing I wish I knew earlier. So I'm here to get religion on budgeting, how to do it well, the different types you can do, and how to execute it well. So you're my go-to resource, Garrett.
No bother, James. Yeah, well, budgeting is super useful and super kind of extensive, the amount of stuff we've covered. So I think we probably do this over a couple of podcasts, actually. So in the first one here, what I'd like to cover off, if we think about the different types of budgets and also then how to do a successful budget, which can be difficult, you know, it can really catch out and has caught me out previously. So when we think about a budget, what is the purpose of a budget? When your management team were looking at the accounts and they were thinking like, you were looking at your numbers and thinking, this really hasn't hit what I thought it was going to hit. I've made a loss this month. The whole point then is what you need to do is compare that number back to your budget. Because if we take a simple example, just your sales, if I said your sales in a month were, you know, 100,000 or maybe 500,000 or maybe a million. Is that good or bad? You don't know. You just don't know. You have to put a context on it. And the way to put a context on it is to compare it to a budget. So then if I say, you know, your sales were 500,000, but your budgeted sales for the month were 400,000. Well, then you can say, wow, we're up 100,000. That's fantastic. That's been a great month for the company. Well done, everyone. You know, everyone handshakes all around. Great job. But if I say to you, okay, actually, you saw the sales, same sales number of 500,000, but I say your budget was actually a million, then you go, oh no, this company is going to close. We're going nowhere. Our growth is not happening. We're in fact, you know, going down 50% on our budget. This is a total disaster.
You said the first thing there that is counterintuitive for me, which is that actually a budget can be a target, like a sales target, what you're going to bring in, not necessarily what you're going to send out, what you're going to spend.
Yeah, exactly. So what most companies, or what I've used budgets for previously really, is to use them as a target for managers. So it's really a way for finance and for the MD to understand how each part of the business is doing, and then really follow up with that and issue new targets, or to, you know, take actions. That's what it's really all about. That's what all these numbers about. That's what it's all about. We're not doing these numbers or endless spreadsheets for the fun, you know, even though they are a lot of fun. I know you know that, James, but in fact, we are doing them to drive a business in a certain direction. And the direction you usually want to drive a business is to make more money. And what we do is we use our numbers to give us guidance on what's going on. And then that will help us to take corrective actions.
Okay, let's go back to school here and just go over the different types of budget you might consider standing up.
Yeah, so if we think about the different types of budgets, we can think there's really four real types of budgets, and then another way to adjust a budget. So usually the first budgets most people will look at, and I'm sure you've done this yourself, James, is you think about a top-down budget or a static budget. So what is that? Well, that's really you come in as the MD of your business and you say, last year we did 10 million in revenue, and next year we're going to do 12 million. So you really just kind of pull that number out of the air, and you kind of come in and you say, it's a top-down budget. You say, we're going to do 12 million, work out the costs and everything else based on that number. So that can happen in a lot of businesses, and it's usually the first way a business comes up with a number is the MD will go out. He might do some research, he might look around the market, but really he's kind of coming up with a number which he thinks is achievable based on his knowledge and experience. And maybe discussing it with other industry professionals, and he will have a look at that.
So static budgets, are they the best type, or are they the worst type, or are they just what's easiest, what's the advantage or disadvantage with them?
Obviously, the advantages are that it's very quick to do, and it can be quick to work out the numbers. There's a lot of disadvantages in that, you know, where has this number come from? What's the backup? How do you make people accountable for that number? You know, so that can be really tricky to do. So usually what you might start off is that management, or if you're in a multinational, this used to happen a lot to me, head office would come in from a different country and they would basically say, you know, the market is, you know, our investors want a growth of 10%. For us to get growth of 10%, you need to hit 12.5% of growth. For you to hit 12.5% of growth, this is the sales you need to hit based on your last year's number and your profit margin. And they will work that out. They'll send you a request, and then you have to actually work it back to that number. That is the truth, believe it or not. And even though it mightn't be based on reality, that can happen quite easily. But even in smaller businesses, people will just say, here's our top-down number, work this out, blah, 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 and off you go. So that's the first way to do it. Now, that happens a lot, and I've even done that recently in my own business where I'm working, and it's fine. But what you really need to do then, if you have the time, and you really should do it, is a bottom-up budget to match your top-down. So your bottom-up budget really is like zero-based budgeting. So what that means is you start off with a blank piece of paper, or in our case, a beautiful spreadsheet, and you decide, what are we going to work out from here? How many people do we have? What's their salaries? What's their utilization? Basically, how many hours can they work in a month or a year? And what can they sell? What's the charging rate? So if you sell them out at a particular rate, how much am I billing them out at? Or for selling products, you work it out. So that's based on a service company. say you have a company and you're selling products. You say, how many products can I sell a month? What's the revenue on each of those products? And work it out that way.
So we went over the charge out rate on a previous podcast, and you should maybe listeners can have a look back at that to see exactly when do we talk about that, Gareth? Well, that was in relation to, oh, we had a listener question, isn't that right? You're trying to figure out why I'm making a profit, even though my revenue's my turnover is increasing, my profit isn't. So listeners can refer back to that for a bit more detail on the charge out rate. Okay, so you can do a zero-based budgeting. So I guess that sounds like it's a lot more work. A bit more work, I guess. Depends on the size of the business. Bit of guesswork involved, maybe, because you don't really know. I mean, it can be hard to, with a blank sheet of paper, remember all the costs in the business and get it right, right?
Well, you say that, James, but like you really do need to get it right. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when I've gone through the numbers in my business, I go into payroll, I get everyone's salary. I go and see who's on a pension. I see who's got a car. I get the exact number for the car for the year by month. I go then and I look at the products we're selling, how much is it costing, what's our markup on every product, and then what kind of products are we, what's our product mix for the year. So how much of each product are we likely to sell in the year? I look at our subcontractors, who are we bringing in, and what's our markup on the price we're selling those people out at. And really, you have to go into that level of detail to understand your business. Otherwise, if you stay too much at the top, what happens is you get a number and it says, you know, you made sales of 500,000 and your budget was 400, but you don't really know where the other 100 has come from. Right? So you're kind of looking at it and you're kind of going, okay, we've made it. This looks good on the face of it, but do you know why it came out? Not really. No, I don't know. Like, we made more sales of this particular item, but, you know, was that based on the budget? I don't know. The budget just says 400. So you really need to delve into the deeper detail, and that's what zero-based budgeting is about. So it is a lot more work, but it is the right way to go, and it really does validate the top-down. Even my own experience there, you know, I got a top-down number from a particular part of a business, and it was going to be, say, I think it was around 3 million. And I knew I stuck in all the employees that worked in that department. I stuck in their charge out rate, their utilization. And guess what? It didn't come to 3 million. It came to 2.6 million. I think it was 2.7 million, around that. And actually, it was impossible for the department to hit that revenue number with the people they had and the charge out rate they were charging. So you can imagine you were already, every month you would have been down, every month. And they'd be saying, why are we down? Why are we down? Don't understand, blah, blah, blah. So on the budget, I immediately was able to prove that we couldn't hit the number. And in fact, what needed to happen was they need to hire three more people and charge them out. And then suddenly they were going to hit the 3 million. They could hit the 3 million target based on having the correct number of people there.
So the ladder was up against the wrong wall in the first place, basically. No chance they'd ever get there. And I guess if you hadn't done that exercise, people could have gone, toiled away for a year, missed the target, felt bad about the whole thing. But meanwhile, there was a zero chance it was ever going to happen in the first place.
That's exactly it. You know, it becomes a waste of time then, because people will look at the number and they won't understand what the difference is. And unless you can explain to them as the management accountant, you know, everyone's just kind of looking at it and no one really understands. And it's just kind of, you know, just goes from month to month. Every month you're down 60 grand or whatever it is, and no one's really getting to the bottom of it, or no one really understands. And that's not really what it's all about. It's really all about giving useful information to the business, to the managers, to allow them to make decisions that will drive the business forward to make more profit. And that's what our podcast is about as well, James. So it's all about getting information that is valuable and you can use that to move your business forward. So that's the first two. The next one then is a lot of businesses, bigger businesses might do this, which is called a rolling budget. So a rolling budget then is where you've done your budget for the year, but you keep rolling it forward 1 month. So usually someone would do a 12-month budget, so say January to December. But then what a rolling budget is, once we're in February, they will do another budget for the month of January for the following year. So you still have 12 months ahead of you. You still have a 12-month budget all the time. Does that make sense? So you keep rolling it forward. So every time you've done a month, someone goes to the end of the budget and adds on another month based on how it's looked for the last 12 months out. Or from the last month's actual figures.
So what's the benefit in that? Because a month like a month, a year away is quite far away. When might it be good to do that sort of do it month by month rather than doing it once a year?
So the benefit of that is you can always kind of see where the business is going on a much longer time scale, because people tend to think, if you think in your 12 months period, then you think about, say, 2019, you're only thinking about, if you have a budget to the end of December, people are only really thinking to the end of December. Who's thinking about January, February, March next year, the first quarter of the next year, and the targets you want to hit for that year, and how that's going to look, and what new, maybe you need new employees to hit those targets. Maybe you're supposed to be hiring people at this stage. Maybe you're supposed to be cutting costs and negotiating a lower price to buy your raw materials at. And no one's looking at that kind of stuff. They're just looking to the end of the year, to December, when they get their big, fat, juicy bonus, as you get every year, James. And that's all they're really thinking about. And they're not really looking out any further. So it really gives people a much longer view. And you can see that in businesses. Some businesses are very myopic. They really kind of only see short term. You think about the banks in Ireland who sold stuff and got huge commission and then disappeared. You know, if they had a rolling budget, they had to look out much further and say, well, actually, your bonus and different things are going to be based on going for a much longer period of time. You know, that would have really made them think twice about just selling this stuff and really ripping off people. But anyway, I'm not getting onto that topic. Let's move on. So we have static, which is top down. We have our zero-based budgeting with bottom up. We have our rolling budget we just discussed. And now we have an incremental budget. A lot of people would do the incremental budget. And an incremental budget is basically where you take last year's number and you add on a particular percentage. Okay. So that in this case, and this is quite an easy one to do, but I don't know if it's a huge value, but it can give some value. But an incremental budget is if you did a lot of work on last year's budget, so you did a zero-based budgeting, and you went to every number and followed everything up and understand every cost and every sales and everything, every sale, every part of the revenue. So then you might say, well, do you know what? I think we're going to increase it by 5% for next year. So really across the board, you say, right, revenue is going to go up 5%. Our costs are going to go up roughly 4-5% as well. So just increase everything by that percentage and roll that out for the next year and off you go on your merry way. So that can be quite a useful way as well of doing a budget to get a quick one done, quick budget done. Even might even give you help you with a top-down analysis. Just say, what happens if we increase everything by 5% for next year? How would that look, you know?
Okay, so that's very much more a target. We'll build the parachutes on the way down type of thing. You figure out. So it's just a gut feel. I mean, some of this is a lot gut feel. I suppose all of this budgeting at the end of the day is designed to influence human behavior, right? It's all a bit of a mind game. In a way, in that you're, say, 5 or 10% growth, and you just agree that as a target and everyone try and hit it. And then it comes down to actually how people spend money and what they do and how many phone calls they make, how good they look after the customers at the end of the day. And it's just a kind of, it's a tool, dare I say it, a manipulation tool, no, or a way of getting the team together and focusing on our growth.
That's true, actually, but it's also a way, you know, I think it's very important to remember that what gets measured gets done. And once you start measuring these things, you'll find you start hitting them, you know. And I know that sounds a bit odd, but it's 100% true. And if you don't have a plan, the phrase I always say is, you don't have a plan, someone else will give you a plan. And it's important for you to have a plan, and anyone out there to have a plan for their business and understand where their business is going, where to see the business in 1, 3, and 5 years. And drive towards that plan, really drive towards it. And if you do that, you can actually hit it. Whereas if you have more of a, you know, I don't know how to use the word Mickey Mouse, but if you don't have like a focus, a direct focus, and you're just kind of taking it from year to year and see how it goes, you're probably not going to be able to drive the business forward as you like. And what a budget does then is a budget helps people to understand where they're going and how to drive, what needs to change to make you hit the numbers. So you set an ambitious target, you set your target, you say, I need to hit this profit number or revenue, which will give me, it's all about the profit at the end, which will give me a certain profit. And then based on that, you do up your budget. And then based on that, you make sure your company follows that budget. And of course, stuff might happen, big things, but usually you can go along that route. So okay. Yeah, is that okay?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So I get that. So what's the final type of budget we were looking at today then?
Yeah, the final one then in our part one of our series on budgeting is on a flex budget. So I've seen this quite a lot, and this is a bit like you just said there, James, about mind games and, you know, manipulating people slightly. And really, it's very useful for sales team. So really, I've seen that a lot with sales, where we might do up our budget and we will say, okay, let's, you know, what will we be happy with? So we say, okay, we're happy with 10% growth in revenue. Okay, so that all sounds good. Happy days. Let's go with that. But what you do then is you go to your sales team, and instead of giving them 10% growth in revenue, you say, well, actually, your budget is to hit 20% growth. Okay. And you go to your purchasing team and you say, instead of you only letting costs increase by 8%, we want you to only let costs increase by 4% or even lower. Or we want you to get a decrease in costs, you know, which happens in a lot of businesses. It's just very hard to do, but there you go. And that really is a flex budget. So then you work out a separate budget based on that. So the separate budget is your flex budget. So your budget might say, okay, things increase by 10% in revenue and a decrease or increase in costs of 8%. And then our flex budget says a 20% increase in revenue and an increase in costs of only 4%. So by looking at those, you can kind of see what your profit number could be.
So it seems to be that you can mix and match these. You could do a rolling zero-based budget or a static incremental budget, could you? They don't just have to be the one type, right?
They don't have to be one type, no. I think a lot of people, you might end up doing a top-down to get your number from your senior managers. You then, as an accountant, would work out as a bottom-up to make sure it makes sense and that the numbers are valid. Then you might say, as a finance team, we want to do a rolling budget so that we can see where we're going to end up in 12 months at all the time. We always have that visibility. And then you incremental is probably a separate one from them. You know, you could do an incremental, but you might leave that separate. And finally, then you would do a flex budget, which is give a different budget to different parts of your team to incentivize them to hit higher than the actual target you want to hit, than the actual budget you want to hit.
That's a great summary there. Thanks very much, Garrett. And I hope you guys found that useful. I did. We are going to follow up with a part two next week, which is all about implementing this budget, with getting down and dirty with how to successfully navigate the slings and arrows of the politics within an organization and getting your budget adopted and deployed successfully. So that's going to be good stuff. Garrett, you're a star. Thanks very much for your help.
No worries. Great to talk to you, James. Always. Take it easy.
And as always, our listeners can, I'd encourage you, if you're looking for more advice on improving profits and controlling costs, go to book.procurementexpress.com, where our book has been launched. Garrett, congratulations. We finally finished it. It's at the printers. And maybe we should give away a free copy if someone wants to email james.kennedy@procurementexpress.com. Send me an email, just book in the title and your address. I'll put one in the post for you. Can't say better than that.
Brilliant.
Great. Okay, let's see. I'll see you again next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up our conversation with James and Garrett. They shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on 5 types of budgets and how they can benefit your company. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. Don't forget to click on one of those links to get a free chapter from the book Profit Leaks by James Kennedy and Garrett Carher. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Gross Profit Podcast.